Oh, how fantastic is that cover of Andy Kim's Sugar Sugar, released by Ike and Tina Turner in 1977.
Wow.
Andy Kim sharing his thoughts about the passing of Tina, writing, "I was lucky to see Ike and Tina live in the late 60s. I was blessed to hear their version of Sugar Sugar. Tina, you will always be in our hearts. May you rest in peace." This is the Morning Zoom with Sam and Jane. Tina Turner has died at the age of 83 at her home near Zurich, Switzerland, following a long illness. Our guest is also our great friend, award-winning music publicist and musicologist Eric Alper. Thanks for being here, Eric.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It's always nice to talk about Tina. You know, I know that everybody in your studio and listening, I mean, there's so much to say that we will just never see the likes of her ever again, that's for sure.
What is Tina Turner's legacy, Eric, her place in musical history?
She really sold us the dream that you can come from nothing, and that nothing was being dirt poor while growing up, living with her grandmother after her parents separated and left them. Just, you know, walked up and her dad left when she was 10. Her mother left a couple of years later, and she was forced to live with her grandmother in absolutely dirt poor circumstances. A chance meeting at a club with Ike Turner, who taught her how to sing, how to dance, how to sizzle on stage, would be wonderful, except for later on we found out that he was an absolute monster and abused her, not just physically, but mentally as well, for decades, all while having some of the greatest rock and roll and soul hits we've ever heard, from River Deep, Mountain High, to Proud Mary, to It's Gonna Work Out Fine. And then when those hits started to dry up, they got divorced and nobody wanted to work with her in the 1970s. She was like a C or a D-list celebrity appearing on game shows. No, she wasn't certainly being played on the radio, and she was broke again. She had a huge IRS bill in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. She was living literally at a motel with her kids, living on food stamps. And by another chance, she met her then manager, who got a batch of songs that were going around the industry. And one of them was What's Love Got to Do with It, a song that nobody wanted to record. Cliff Richards turned it down. Donna Summer turned it down. It was just swirling across the industry, and nobody wanted to sing it. She sung it. And for an entire generation, me included, who the first time that they really saw Tina Turner, she was just, you know, mid-40-year-old black woman with spiked hair and a jean jacket and a leather skirt and fishnets and high heels, telling men exactly what the score was going to be from now on. Immensely powerful for a teenager to watch this, and she just rode off of that up until her self-imposed retirement.
Well, and you know what, there's so much cool footage of Tina out there right now. You really, I mean, you just need to you go online and watch television, whatever it is. It's just stuff that I've never seen before that's pretty spectacular. So she blazed a trail for so many women, whether it was intentional or not. Black women, abuse victims, music artists. What was her greatest accomplishment?
I got to tell you, I don't think it's, I mean, look, let's put aside the music for a moment, because that stuff is brilliant. I think when she wrote her autobiography, I, Tina, in the late, in the early 1980s, it was probably one of the first times that any celebrity had actually come out and talk about her abusive relationship with her husband. And I think a lot of women saw that for the very first time and said, I think it's now okay to talk about this. Because I thought about this a lot last night, and I was trying to come up with other autobiographies that kind of revealed something, you know, stark or something, you know, gossipy. And Tina's was, I think, the first one that really went huge on a mass level. And then when the movie What's Love Got to Do with It came out, starring Angela Bassett, you got to see, or at least, you know, a recreation of the abuse that she took. And I think that changed the world. I really do. I think it allowed women to talk about their experiences in a very public manner. And I think whether she realized it or not, she became this feminist icon to standing up for herself and just trying to do the best of what she could do. Fortunately, her best, at least on stage and on record, was better than anybody else at the time.
Eric, what you've just said really resonates for me, because now that I think back on it, it is the first time we women have really felt that empowerment, and through performance as well.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you're an artist and you don't write your own material, part of the magic of the music industry is trying to find those amazing songs that make people believe that there's nobody else that could have ever sung it. And when you go through her songs of Better Be Good to Me and We Don't Need Another Hero and Typical Male and The Best and I Don't Want to Fight, all those songs could not have been sung by anybody else but Tina Turner, and she will be deeply and sadly missed.
Eric Alper, award-winning music publicist and musicologist, thanks for sharing your thoughts on the amazing Tina Turner.
Thank you for having me. We'll talk soon.